Development Committee meeting for Tuesday, February 2nd, 2016. I got 6 p.m. We got Alderman Colissimo, Alderman Koch, and Alderman Funkhauser present, and city staff. Okay, citizens' comments. Is there any comments, or are they all to agenda items? Okay, so I thought. Minutes for correction approval for January 5th, 2016. Everybody good?
I'm good.
All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, new business. Item number one, EDC 2016-06 building permit report for December 2015.
Okay, in December of last year, we had 5 building incentive program permits and 6 commercial permits and 14 miscellaneous. And that would be the close of our calendar year. We did 84 residential home permits in 2015. To put it up against last year's, year before that, we did 72. We had it the year before that in 2013, we did 83. And then in 2012, we did 69. So this will be the highest year in the last 4 years for our permitting of residential homes. Also, the construction value for last year was $49,791,115, which to show the difference in that, that was a $25 million jump in construction value from the year before, where we've had a pretty steady jump of $3 million roughly every year before that, and now we jumped $25 million, which is a big part of that is with the Wrigley expansion, but that's still a really significant jump.
Okay, we'll move on to item number two, EDC 2016-07 building inspection reports for December 2015.
Okay, in December we did 139 inspections total. Things were a little slow in December, as they usually are. The up and down of the weather this year has kind of taken a toll on our inspection calls. I mean, the houses are still being built and work's still being done, but they've seemed to be delaying a lot of the inspections off because of mud and whatnot.
Any other questions? Okay, we'll move on to item number three, EDC 2016-08, property maintenance report for December 2015.
In December, we had only had one case in front of the hearing officer, and that was dismissed because the property was in compliance the day of. We also had several complaints and letters we had sent out for all the ones that are in the packet there for property maintenance 2015 in December. We sent letters to all those, and all of those were corrected. The Bridge Street one, this is an unpermitted sign, that was corrected, and now it is currently back in violation, so they have received another letter, and we're dealing with that.
The only thing I got to add to this is, Pete, I have a property, I'll send you the pictures tomorrow, they're gonna send me pictures. It's that one behind Terry Lane, the lot, it's in Heartland.
Yes.
It's the second one. I guess there's gutters and stones and wood, and I don't know if kids are camping out back in there or what, but I'm going to get a photo. I'll just forward it to you, and if you want to walk by there.
Yeah, most of them will check it out.
I try to tell the homeowner that if they see them out there, they need to call.
Yeah, I haven't heard of that one, so yeah, we'll...
Well, it was one that was from last summer.
Okay.
They play back in there. It's an empty lot. It's Grider Builders, I think, is the lot. And I guess there's a little ravine dip between the other houses, and these kids are down in there with stuff. And I don't know if you could take a look and see if it's an issue or not.
Yeah, no, we'll look and see. And if generally that would lead to trash and debris, so that's the issue. We'll talk to the builder about it, the homeowner about it, send a letter.
Because he probably doesn't even know it unless he's out checking his lots.
Yeah, no, I know of a lot of these lots like that, especially ones that back up to county properties. I believe that one does back up to a county property, I think.
No, that one there is.
Well, that's a different
Terry Lane. Terry Lane,
yeah,
the
we
house
dealt with,
is on. Yeah.
Yeah. We dealt with this one back at the county property, and it was the kids from the county property that came over, and that was in the Q Builder house, and they cleaned it up, and then they come back over again. So.
Okay.
We'll see what we can do about it.
All right. I'll get you the picture then when I get it.
Okay. Did the beekeeping license and Dolph renew their license?
No. There was no. I don't believe so. I think that was when I went to look at the other day, and I think that the hive was gone and the.
The hive was gone?
Yeah, I believe so. And I think they're no longer living there, residents right now.
Okay.
Yeah, the one across the street reapplied.
Okay.
I believe I wanted, I think that was when I went on to it and rang the doorbell, and I walking on the sidewalks. I can't walk on their property without permission. And since they hadn't if they had reapplied for one, then I could walk on the property because they're asking the city for a permit. But since they didn't reapply, I'm bound by that clear path. I have to walk around the sidewalks and see what I can see from the common path. And I didn't see any beehive at all. So.
Okay.
I'm assuming they're gone. No one answered the door or came back with our letter we sent to them.
Okay.
You ready, Chris?
Good.
Okay, move on to item number 4, EDC 2016-09, Economic Development Update.
Can I come up?
Oh, yes.
So the month of January had a lot of different things that I went to that I wanted to share with you. First of all, I attended two meetings on behalf of the city that are for the business community. One was the SCORE breakfast that was held at Harrah's in Joliet. It's a meeting of SCORE. The SCORE group is business mentors for the business community, and they're wanting to make sure that our businesses are aware of different programs that are available. So if you own a pizza place and you want to get information, or you're starting a new business, or you have one and you want to expand, I have access now to this group and made the connection so that all of our businesses can have access to someone to be a mentor to them in a very specific business. And they have 10,000 people throughout the United States of America. Now, since, you know, years ago, it is the Fox Valley chapter that was having this breakfast. And years ago, it was more, you know, who was local. But now with Skype and everything, they have 10,000 members throughout the whole nation. So you have someone that's a business in your town and they want information about opening up whatever that might be, I can put them together with a person that would be a mentor to them. And it's free of charge. So I also attended the quarterly SBA meeting, which is a meeting that I have always attended, trying to get information about loan programs for our businesses. And many of our businesses have taken advantage of the 7A program and the 504 program. And so I always attend them. The refi is coming back on the SBA. It went away for a long time, and now it's back. It's been approved by Congress. It will come back on July the 1st. And what that means is if you have a real estate loan and you want to refinance your mortgage, you can now, it used to be where the 504 program was only for new projects. You can now refinance your mortgage into a 504. And a 504 is a 50-40-10 program. So 50% comes from the bank, 40% comes from the SBA, and 10% comes from the owner's equity. And the benefit to it is that the 40% that the SBA funds is at a fixed rate for 20 years. Much like a traditional mortgage. So, because most commercial real estate loans are amortized over 30 years, and they're a 5-year balloon or a 7-year balloon. So people have to go, and you can't get a traditional mortgage on a piece of commercial real estate. But with this 504 program, now you can. But before it was only for, if I'm building a new building or buying a new building. But the refi program was around for about a year, and then it went away. Congress stopped the program, but it's coming back starting July 1st. So that's two very important things for our business community. So it's things I talk about with people. Also, I was a week ago on Saturday, I went over to Wabanzi, and I was the half of the show for Fox Valley Focus. That will be aired sometime in February. They're supposed to send me the clip. And we talked about Yorkville the entire time, what was going on. And so it was a 15-minute segment with Barb Nadeau. So she is the host of that show. And that is on Comcast. So I don't have Comcast at home. So they're going to send me the clip so I can see it. I think it's available on YouTube as well. And Dale Berman from North Aurora was the other guest. So he went first, then I went. So I attended both of those. Kendall Marketplace, working with Alex Berman. And as a matter of fact, we're having a meeting with him tomorrow, Bart and the mayor and myself. Actually, they have a mid-sized retailer that is looking at the property. And so they're very hopeful that they'll be able to get through that process. Because with that will come, you know, retailers follow retailers, so there are some smaller retailers that are of interest if this larger mid-size lease gets end up getting signed.
Are they looking at an outlot or being in the strip mall?
In the strip.
Okay, that's what I'm coming to.
Yeah, not an outlot, not at this point. I think the outlots is something that we will talk about in depth tomorrow, but all these potential users would be in line in the existing business. In downtown Yorkville, there is a lease being negotiated as we speak on a space on the east side of Route 47 from the Masons. So I'm hopeful that that moves forward. Okay. Also, I am stirring the pot to try to get some activity on the west side of the street. Okay. Also, I have a new business that has a piece of property under contract on the south side of Yorkville. Does not want to divulge her business at this point, but is moving forward and is hopeful to close later this month. And if everything goes as planned, we'll be in shortly for building permit because they would like to break ground in the spring and be open in the fall. So pretty, they have a very short window of getting open. So.
Well, you let her know if she needs anything from the alderman on the south side of the town.
It's done.
To give us a call and we'll get done.
Okay. Okay. We continue to work with Justine Brummel, the sports dome, and she is continues to explore options. She definitely, you know, wants to be in Yorkville, and we spent a lot of time and put many meetings together assisting her. So.
And you let her know that Yorkville wants her to be in Yorkville.
Yes, and she knows that. So.
Did she sell her property on Fox Road then? I know that that was kind of...
I don't know that that's closed, but has that closed.
They don't have a contract.
Right. That's pivotal to this whole thing too. So there's...
Well, I knew that that was the case, that they were trying to sell that property.
Yes. And I have also a significant industrial user that is looking at Yorkville for a large industrial project. So... I would just say stay tuned, hopefully. Lots of negotiations going back and forth on property, so could be another big industrial project coming our way.
Great. That's what we need.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay, I got a question. Mm-hmm. What's with them?
Cool. So,
have you heard anything?
Actually, I'm going to have Christy bring you up to speed because she actually spoke with Lee.
So they still haven't recorded their final plat, and that's the first step that needs to happen. They're working on that. They have final comments, so they need to get their signatures, record the final plat, and then they can break ground per the incentive agreement. In order to get the incentives that the city approved, they would need to commence construction by March 1st. So they're on a tight time frame.
Right.
But they're
I know they were in a hurry to do this last summer, so... I'm just curious.
I promised my wife coffee.
they're working hard to get it done, to meet the deadline. I think they had some issues with the bank finalizing some things, the bank that currently owns the property. So getting some signatures and getting all that done.
Because the car auto body place changed names.
To Service King.
Service King.
Yeah.
They were sold and bought? Or?
They merged.
Yeah. Like all of them, all of the Car Care Collisions are now Service King.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
so it's not like
sign.
Just them, it's all over the Chicagoland area.
Okay. Anything else for them?
No, sir.
Chris?
No.
Okay. All right. Item number 5, EDC 2016-10, foreclosure biannual report.
Okay.
Okay, what you have before you is the newly filed foreclosure update for 2015. As you can see on the first graph for the month breakdown, there has been a substantial decrease in foreclosures again from year over year. The only outlier for 2015 would be in August. There was an uptick in foreclosures. And that was the only really significant difference with the month-by-month graph. The ward breakdown, again, Ward 3 was, again, the highest amount of foreclosures. Again, Bristol Bray has a lot of condos that foreclosed as well. So, and again, so going into Bristol Bay, like I said, they were the number one subdivision for foreclosures. There was an uptick in Fox Hill and Grand Reserve. Again, there's no real data trends to point towards, you know, a trend in the foreclosures on that. So staff will monitor those two subdivisions in the future. Again, not sure why there was an uptick in those two subdivisions. And then again, property breakdown graph. The single family residence, again, is the largest stock in Yorkville, so it tends to lead to have the most foreclosures. Future trends, according to RealtyTrack, Illinois has a newly filed foreclosure rate of 1 in every 1,006, which is roughly the national average. Kendall County is ranked first in Illinois as far as lowest. They have filed foreclosures at 1 in every 525. So good news for Kendall County, foreclosure rate is really low considering the other counties. And then the final graph again shows just kind of a comparison from 2009 through 2015, steady decline since 2010. And the future trends do show kind of a leveling off this year, maybe possible decrease again as well in 2016.
Am I misreading the numbers, or if Illinois has 1 in every 1,006 and Kendall has 1 in every 525, don't we have a higher foreclosure rate? Or I just want to make, I'm not saying it to be funny, I just don't understand the ratios. Because you want the second number to be big. Mm-hmm. You have a 1 in 10,000 foreclosure rate, that's great.
Right.
So it sounds like we're worse than the state average.
Yes, that would, yes. Yes.
We might be worse than the state, but are we among counties?
Among counties, we're ranked first in the lowest number of filing foreclosures.
But if we're first...
Yeah, we'll take a look at
it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
If we're first, then the state can be 1,006.
Yeah.
It would be
We'll take a look at the actual data labels and then break it out.
Because I'm just curious what that number would actually be.
Yeah, I had thought the same thing. So it might just be that the data is labeled something different, but we'll check on it.
Thank you. I like these charts. I actually put them up on my Alderman Facebook page today, and I've had some residents respond and like and stuff, so I'm trying to get, because nobody reads, believe it or not, nobody reads the EDC packet in the community. So I posted up and I had a couple people share it and stuff already, so I'm trying to get those numbers out. I really like the 2009-15 comparison. I like how quickly we're dropping on foreclosure, so that's good to see.
Nelson. Okay, we'll move on to item number 6, PC 2016-02, the Law Office Corporation, a special use request.
Okay, so the petitioner is the Law Office Corporation. The existing building once was a professional use. It housed attorneys, and their petition is to turn it into a bar/tavern type use with live music on occasions. There are plans in your packet that shows how the configuration of the interior would work out. The petitioner has applied and been granted a building permit to start the demolition and the construction of the interior of the development. Nothing really is going to change on the face of the building, except the entrance will no longer be a ingress-egress entrance. It's going to be more just a glass facade. The reason why that this is before you as a petition for special use and not other uses like Barley Fork or the former OJ's or now Rowdy's, thank you, is because those establishments serve food. They have a menu and they serve food. And so with the zoning classification, the way that the zoning ordinance is written, that will fall more in a restaurant type use with incidental for alcohol. Because they have a full menu and they offer full food on site, site preparation for food and service. So that falls under the definition of a restaurant. This particular user will not have food prepared on site, and they're not offering food as a menu item from their business. Now, patrons would be able to buy food from adjacent users or adjacent restaurants and have it delivered to that facility, but they would not be providing food. So it fits more in the definition of a tavern as far as the zoning ordinance is considered. There is a chart in your packet that talks about businesses with a bar and tavern licenses. So the difference is zoning addresses use, and the liquor license addresses more of the activity that's happening in the use. So even though these businesses have a use that serves alcohol and the license is called a bar or tavern license, it's not necessarily defined as a bar or tavern per the zoning ordinance. The petitioner has to meet certain standards, which they provided responses to in their packet, and they are here to just tell you a little bit more about their business as well.
Yeah, I think I've been here when we first kind of went through some of the original plans. Nothing really has changed too much drastically. Other than if you look at your package, the back bathroom configuration changed because we started demoing back there. The walls really were about to fall over, so we had to basically demolish the back end of the building, build it back up again. So the bathroom configuration is a little bit different. A lot better now than it was then. But everything in the front is the same, so yeah, we didn't know exactly that we would have to come in for a special use until the city determined that it did not qualify as a permitted use. So hence, we're going through the process now. But other than that, everything is on track. Looking for a spring soft opening, and then a full opening a little bit later this spring before the festival this summer. So I mean, I can answer any questions that anyone may have about anything really. Plans haven't changed too much, so.
Chris?
I had one about the residential. Is there residential above the space?
There is a residential. I lived there when I've had several people live there over the years. There's no tenant up there now.
Will there be?
I don't know. I don't have plans right now to lease it to anyone. I may utilize it as a place for artists to stay when they play there, as opposed to having them have to go out. And, but we talked about maybe doing like some sort of studio setup up there for musicians. But I haven't formulated any final plan up there as of yet.
Okay, so there's potential.
Yeah, there's. I need to do a little bit of work up there. I mean, the electrical bill, it's baseboard electrical heating, and not very efficient up there at all right now. So I had to do some work up there, but I need to get the basement open and start generating some revenue before I can do any work upstairs.
Christy, did you get the email from Bart about that? I was basically asking about how that, if there's a residence up there or if there's one above the record, which I don't recall if there is or isn't.
As far as notice?
For sound.
Sound.
How would it's obviously not zoned residential, but in terms of sound, would that affect?
Did you ask about the record building?
Do they have?
There's no residential
above
the record.
That's office spaces as well. Yes. So the only one would be above the office if it's.
Potential if they do. Right. So noise would work the same way as it works in any other district. We have our noise ordinance, which is under the police section. And it does, our noise section does address interior sound. Is averse to if you're in a building, and then it could be louder, but the adjacent user in the same building should not be able to hear it above a certain decibel level or certain hours. And we are currently looking at revising that noise ordinance, so that may change, but this particular user would be required to adhere to whatever noise ordinance we have in place.
I'm sure I could into the lease.
With your lease, I was going to say, since you control that.
Lease unless they were agreed.
You understand, you're buying, you're renting up all the music venue.
Right.
So we shouldn't get any noise complaints within the building, from the building.
They'd be evicted if they did.
Okay, no, that's good. I just want to make sure that that was covered.
I'm good with it.
Are you putting a, is there going to be like a deck out in the back off of it? Or
there, we had a deck off of the old structure that we had to tear down because the roof was leaking. We had some water damage in there, mm-hmm. so that's why we had to replace the roof. And then we stubbed up to potentially build a deck off of the back the way it was done before. There's no plans right now to make that any commercial access whatsoever, only access from the second floor.
What do you need?
Oh, this is informational. This is going to Plan Commission next week for a public hearing.
So this would be really similar to the microbrewery on the north side of town that we had okayed, right?
No, because they're not
because they don't serve
on
food
sound.
Either, right?
The microbrewery?
There's
a different zoning classification for microbrewery and what this particular user is doing. He's not brewing on site.
Okay.
So it wouldn't be considered a microbrewery.
Okay, I just wondered if they were in the same category. Okay.
No.
There's a production facility. Mm-hmm.
This is more of a drinking
retail.
Establishment.
Okay,
yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we'll go forward with that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, bud.
Item number 7, PC 2016-03, United Faith in Christ Church Special Use Request.
The petitioner has filed an application with the city requesting a special use approval for a church facility, a small church facility located in an M1 district. By definition, a small religious institution is less than 400 seats and 8,000 square feet of, and less than 8,000 square feet of floor area. The property at 210 Beaver Street is divided into four separate units. The petitioner is looking to go in Unit A, which would be the northernmost unit. That property, or that unit, is roughly 2,400 to 2,600 square feet, so they do fall under that. The petitioner is looking to accommodate about 50 seats within the facility. So by definition, they would meet into that small religious institution. The other suites in this facility are also vacant. Parking, there currently is parking on the north side. Striped, there's roughly 5 spots on the north side. If you look at the aerial on page 1, back in 2010, it appeared that there were approximately 14 additional parking stalls located along the western portion of that building. As part of the parking requirements per city code, they would be required to have a total of 9 parking stalls for the facility. So in addition to the 5, staff would recommend as part of approval for this special use that the petitioner go ahead and restripe the additional parking stalls required for this use. The petitioner's here if anybody has any questions about him.
So are you purchasing the whole building?
We're actually leasing.
Leasing.
We're leasing it. We're looking to do the furthest unit north, which is basically the configuration of it. If you look at the floor plans, it's mostly office space with a large area, a little small area where there is enough space for gathering. And that's basically the configuration it's been for quite some time. So it's my understanding is previous uses were there was a dog training facility business in there. There was also a boxing or self-defense classes held there. So it has not been technically used in a limited manufacturing way in quite some time, and it has been vacant for quite some time.
I have no issue with the church going there. The only question I had was for the parking. If we allocate 9 of these spots for the Unit A in the future, if Unit B, C, or D go to occupy, those 9 would then not be available. It's what's ever left.
It's
you can't double dip in parking is basically what I'm asking.
Yes, you can. It has to be, in our ordinance, there's shared parking requirements.
Okay.
If the uses are considered compatible, where the timing of each use is more of a daytime population, more of an evening time population, if we can justify that those parking stalls will be available, then it's permitted.
So it just depends on who comes in?
It depends on the type of use.
If there was another church on Sunday, then we'd have an issue.
Then we would have to go, then we would have to get the approval of that shared parking through the ZBA process.
Okay.
But if they're complimentary daytime,
they're there
like
on
a
Sunday,
bank,
they're Monday through
and
Friday,
right.
It's not an issue.
Right.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I have no issue with it.
With that, since this is a lease on the building, I assume the owner is aware of the restriction of any other use that would occur at the same time you have. If somebody came in to build out B, C, and D, and they wanted to operate outside of 8 to 5 hours, there would be a restriction of parking. Is that something that the owner's aware of? I don't want to create an issue where it's going to be a problem down the road. Obviously, that's where Carl is going, is making sure we don't have the problem. Right now, if there were other users, 8 to 5, you're not going to conflict in your times.
No, absolutely
so,
not.
Yeah. I mean, growth, if you guys fill in the rest of the building, I assume you'd need more parking than what is able to fit onto the property, which for you, that'd be a good thing.
Yes, absolutely.
but at that point, we'd have to readdress the issue
mm-hmm.
if they came to expand.
Right.
Is it normally that we do that, or would just the owner, the landlord, be involved in that process first?
Well, the code contemplates that this is a special use,
uh-huh.
and so it therefore is complementary to a manufacturing use, which has more of a daytime population. If any other use would come in that would compete with the timing, it more than likely would be another special use, and so we would have to go through this process again. If it isn't by that case, and we're doing the review, and the petitioner acknowledges that this may conflict with another use, that we would have to go to the ZBA and say, can they meet this parking standard? Do they need to increase parking standards? Or we would just not approve the occupancy of the new use until they address parking. So.
That it?
Good. Yeah, I'm okay with it.
I'm okay with it too.
Okay. This will go to the February 10th Planning Commission as well for public hearing and then to City Council.
Okay. Show no old business. Any additional business?
Oh, Chris has an update.
Yeah. Regarding the foreclosures, if you have time and click on the link that was provided in the email or in the memo, it does take you to the site. So the one in 25 does indicate on the graph just below the state outline that one in 525 is the high number. So you are correct, Carlo. It is a very high number. We are ranked, unfortunately, first in foreclosures.
That's right.
So.
Now when you go to the breakdown of the county, we're on the lower spectrum.
Yorkville.
Yes, so
correct.
If you click into
Kendall County
and you look at the breakdown within the municipalities, mm-hmm. we actually, fortunately, are on the lower.
Yeah, we're number one in a category where we want to be 102.
Yeah,
right.
Yes.
Right.
Right.
So among cities,
we're number one in the wrong way.
Yeah.
Right.
But among cities, Yorkville is.
We're still better
we're
than
still
the rest
of the
county.
Yeah, we're still
than
better
than Oswego and Plano.
We're helping the average.
Yes.
It's Oswego and Montgomery that are the problem.
Not much, just
Montgomery.
We're number one.
Yeah.
We're helping you.
Yeah.
Very good. Thank you. I see that. I mean, click the little light. The only other thing I have is really from now on, if there's something in this committee that doesn't get 3 votes, it's not leaving committee. Because that Bill 2, we took it out there for discussion, it gets voted on, now it's a program. Frankly, I'm considering bringing in something to revoke it, but we'll talk about that later. But realistically, that should have never been voted on. It should have never been in front of the council. So when we do the deference, well, let's see what the council has to say. No more. This is a committee. If it doesn't get 3 votes, it dies in committee. If the mayor wants to put it in his report, that's his prerogative. He's the mayor. But then it's on the mayor's report, not on this committee's report. So I will object to anything coming out of this committee that doesn't have 3 votes. So that's just for future reference.
Chris?
Nothing else.
Hey, meeting adjourned.
Great.
Thank you.